Do you try to hide in a world of illusion that's covering your mind? I'll show you something good. Oh, I'll show you something good. When you open your mind, you'll discover the sign that there's something you're longing to find.
A miracle. Take away your pain. When the miracle of love comes your way again.
Cruel is the night.
Hello and welcome to worship on this second Sunday in Lent. Over the 6-week period of Lent, we are building our own Lent worship space focused on a cross. And this is the cross that was sent to us to help us with that. Last week, you considered temptation and placed around the cross something you find a personal temptation. This week, the theme is service. How do you serve God? How do you witness and serve in your community? Whatever that is, whether it be the family, workplace or school. Are you busy homeschooling? Could you place some maths or English around your cross? Could it be the shopping list of a neighbour who you go and buy their provisions for? Could it be a mug to represent inviting someone over for a tea or coffee when we're allowed to do so? In lockdown, I've been making scones and giving them to my neighbours. So I'm going to put my recipe book, battered though it is, around my cross. What will you put around your cross today? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Shall we have a prayer as we come to our service this morning? God of love, bring us back to you. Send your Spirit to make us strong in faith and active in good works. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Take away your pain. When the miracle of love comes your way
cost you much and embrace the Let us pray. O God of love, power and faithfulness, we journey with your Son, ever closer to Jerusalem, to his cross, his true destiny. We hear his words, take up your cross and follow me. But we aren't sure if it's the crosses of this life or the actual cross of death. We hear his words, deny yourself, and wonder which self it is. The self we put on for others, or the self-centered self that wants it all for ourselves. Whichever it is, it seems like Jesus is sure asking a lot of us. And we aren't sure we can do this. God, we will need your Holy Spirit to be able to do this. God, we will need your grace and mercy to be able to do this. We remember that you empowered your disciples, the early Christians, the others who decided to follow you. We believe that you will do likewise for us. Amen.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins.
As we forgive those who sin against us, save us from the time of trial.
And deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Amen.
Take up your cross and follow me. A minister was asked to visit an elderly lady in a nursing home. He was aware that her memory was not good. He walked up to her and asked, "Do you know who I am?" She smiled and said, "No, I don't. But if you go over to the reception desk, they will tell you who you are." That was not the answer he was expecting. There are times when God asks his followers a question. In the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" God knew where they were, but they did not. The disciples were visiting Caesarea Philippi, near the foot of the snow-covered Mount Hermon, when Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" They had already said who others said he was. Now, for the first time, Jesus openly challenges his disciples to say who they personally thought him to be. Upon Peter's confession that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus begins telling them of his forthcoming death. He is preparing the disciples for the coming events of his crucifixion and resurrection. Against this peaceful backdrop of the verdant slopes and forests, Jesus speaks of the religious leaders preparing to maltreat him, to kill him, and that he would arise from the dead 3 days later. Peter is so upset, he does not seem to take in the last part about the resurrection. And after Jesus rebuked Peter, he made an incredible statement to the disciples. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Peter had tried to deflect Jesus from his destiny, and Jesus is here saying to them, "The time has come to face up to your own cross, to pick it up right now and to follow him." Now, the cross was a familiar sight to the people in Israel. The Roman conquerors used it as a terrifying form of death with torture. Travelling the roads, one would often come upon a person on a cross, sometimes taking up to 3 days to die. There are records of miles and miles of crosses along the road sign as a sign of the all-dominating, conquering Roman Empire. Whenever I read, "Take up your cross," in the Gospel, it's such a strange command that it honestly takes me aback. And yet, it's a phrase that seems to come up quite often, and so early in the Gospels that it's startling when you read it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34, he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." When Jesus utters this phrase, his disciples probably didn't realise that he was being quite literal in its meaning. They also probably didn't realise that some of them would end up being crucified for their faith. So they too would literally carry their own cross. And yet, Jesus was being very literal with them. And through scripture, we know that his words are relevant to us today. Of course, nowadays, the likelihood of us literally carrying a cross and being crucified on it is pretty slim. Yet, we all will die in one way or another. And if we are to die, we should do so by following Christ, who will lead us to eternal life in God, who is love. And to follow Christ means to take up our cross, which we as Christians are called to do. And perhaps this is why I love this picture. It's in a museum in Madrid. And when I first saw this picture, I was struck with its originality. Many pictures of Jesus and the cross are very literal. By watching Jesus carry his cross, we are reminded of his ascent to Calvary. There, he was crucified and died. And by seeing the artist's depiction of the event, we're reminded of the inescapable truth that Jesus suffered and died for us. But this is not a literal picture. This is a symbolic picture. In it, Jesus shoulders his cross and looks back at a woman who is struggling with hers. While Jesus stands upright, though bowed down with the weight of the cross, the woman is really struggling. She's on her knees, seemingly tripping over herself, even while struggling to get back up. She seems to have a really tough time holding up the cross at all. Surrounding them are crosses. More crosses than can be counted. Each one of them presumably has someone else who will shoulder them and follow after Jesus. All of them different. All of them heavy. They even blanket the path that this woman is going along, making it even harder to follow Christ. And yet, her eyes are locked on to Jesus, and his eyes are locked on to hers. He seems to be waiting for her to continue following him, while she seems to be pausing and reflecting on Jesus, who is right in front of her. So, who is she? She is a symbolic figure of the Christian soul. That is, she represents us as we pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. Which made me think, how many times do we stumble and fall as we do our best to carry our cross? How many times do we fail day by day to carry our crosses and follow Jesus? How many times do other crosses trip us up, even while we struggle to carry our own? And yet, the figure of the Christian soul, the weak, is beautiful. She's dressed in lovely clothes and flowers adorn her hair. In many ways, she looks like a bride. And there Jesus, the bridegroom, watches her with a loving gaze and urges her on with his eyes. Which reminds me that this invitation to take up our crosses and follow Jesus is not a threat. It is a declaration of love in which Jesus invites us to trust and follow him no matter what. Sometimes we balk at the notion of carrying our cross, and for good reason. The cross is a guarantee of suffering. There's a reason why the Christian phrase, Valley of Tears, is a reference to life. Life is hard. Lockdown is hard. And full of stumbling and failing and getting back up only to fall back down again and again. And yet, when we follow Jesus, there is hope for mercy and for grace. So let us follow Jesus always and carry our cross. And when inevitably we stumble and fall, just as he did on the way to Calvary, let us remember that he is always with us, urging us to keep on going and to always follow him. Amen.
He had time for me. Incredible, I know, but true. He saw beneath the surface, beneath the greed, the selfishness and the corruption, and uncovered a person I didn't know existed. I groaned when I saw him coming. I won't pretend otherwise. Another self-righteous person coming to tell me my business. That's what I imagined. And I'd had my fair share of those. Well, nobody likes a tax collector, do they? But I'd always given as good as I got. I mean, it's not easy when you've got a wife and kids at home to feed. We all have to learn a living somehow. And since the only people really to give me a chance were the Romans, what could I do? Or did any of them really imagine I enjoyed working for them? Anyway, someone had to do it, didn't they? So why not me? I suppose Jesus understood that, for he didn't criticise or condemn. None of the two-faced hypocrisy of the Pharisees, none of the usual accusing glances or obscene gestures, just those two lovely words, follow me. You could have knocked me over. It was the last thing I expected, took the wind out of my sails. But more than that, I was excited, moved, fascinated, because he had time for me. He hadn't written me off. He hadn't seen only the outside. He accepted me as I was, with all my sins sticking to me. And the funny thing was, once he did that, it was me who pointed to my faults, not him. I felt ashamed, painfully aware of all that is wrong, longing to be different, yet at the same time set free, forgiven, offered a new beginning. I followed, of course. What else could I do? Would you refuse a man like that? Well, perhaps you would, but I'm glad I didn't, because despite everything since, the times I've let him down, the occasions I've misunderstood, the mistakes I've made, the faults I still have, he goes on accepting me every day. Not for what I might become, but for who I am.
You're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh. And now, our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Today, Lord, I once again take up my cross and follow you. Forgive me for choosing daily to be complacent. Happiness has been my God, and I have believed I'm entitled to it. Forgive me for all the excuses I have for not responding to you immediately, with urgency and sacrificially. Forgive me for complaining about being bored as I sit and doing nothing during lockdown. Forgive me for the times I have tried to make carrying my cross more comfortable. I have been far too complacent with finding things to make it easier. Gadgets and toys to make my cross lighter, smaller and cushioned. Forgive me for making excuses and not going with you because I was worried about my health, safety, reputation and loneliness, financial security and ability to handle extreme weather and getting dirty. Forgive me for focusing on my comfort rather than my character. Forgive me for the times I have not followed you because it wasn't convenient. I didn't want to go out of my way to see the needs around me, because then I would feel guilty for not doing something about them. Forgive me for not loving my neighbours. I don't even know their names. Forgive me for being so busy with my priorities that I forget to meet with you and then squeezing a few verses in at the end of the day so I can check devotions off my to-do list. Forgive me for trying to pacify my conscience by giving just enough to feel good about myself, but not enough to inconvenience my lifestyle. Today, Lord, I once again take up my cross and follow you. Shake me of my complacency. I want to live daily with an urgency to radically be the change you call me to be. Strip me of my comforts. May my love for you be a driving force to live with joyful surrender. Scratch out my schedule. I don't want any circumstances or timeline to influence my dedication and obedience to take up my cross and follow you. Here I am, send me. May your word pour out of me like water to the thirsty, and may my life be full of the fruit of the Spirit. All I am and have, I give back to you with open hands, knowing that all my needs you will meet as I go with you. Today, I take up my cross and follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
we come to our blessing. May Christ, who calls you to take up your cross, give you strength to bear your own and one another's burdens. May Christ give you the grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow him. May the blessing of God, our Creator, Redeemer and Giver of life be with you always, now and forever. Amen.